shifting gears now. We mentioned this at the top of the show, and I was off by the numbers. It was actually a group of 33 university students who visited the state of Alabama on a multi-day civil rights learning experience just this past month. And here's some students, some of the things that they had to say.
I believe that the young people are being distracted by, you know, different stuff, as in, you know, music, television. They're not more into it like our ancestors was, and this is downfall, because you see it nowadays in Baltimore, you know, riots, so like they don't know how to protest, don't know how to march, so therefore they need to actually come together and ask their grandparents about it, because their parents really don't even know about it. They have to ask their grandparents about it, their great grandparents about it, and learn how can we do it the right way and do it non-violently, which got us to the point that we are today.
On the tour bus, they played the movie Selma, and on the scene, I saw the four little girls in the church, and it didn't click what scene they were trying to portray until the bomb went off and all you saw was smoke and fire. And to know that those little girls could have been talking about anything, could have been talking about hair, could have been talking about dolls, and then in an instant their life was taken away from them, that was sad to see. And I teared up when I saw that scene in the movie, and this is the place where it happened, and I'm here today.
A lot of people have no idea of the actual history here in Selma, and so I make sure I told a lot of people who actually never heard about Selma, who actually never came on the trip, I encourage them to come to the trip and enroll in the class, so I know they're getting a big experience in it.
That was Charles Woods, Danielle Schenkel, and Dorian Baker, all students who attended the trip to Alabama this past month.
Well, and they couldn't have said it any better than I can. These students had an amazing experience. This is the third year now that we've been able to sponsor this program. As you mentioned at the top of the show, both the dream and the funding came from one of our alums, Frank Turner, a 1961 graduate of Old ET, had a very successful career in the railroad industry, and his wife, Rosalie, who has written a number of books on the civil rights movement, history and sort of the cultural context of it. So they have been instrumental, not just in helping pay for the trip, but also in arranging the various stops on the tour, arranging speakers. I went on the first trip, I missed the second year, and then went again this year. And again, it was an amazing experience for me, and I thought I knew everything, but it turns out that that I don't. One of the high points of the trip for me this year was to hear from Doug Jones, who was Alabama prosecuting attorney, who prosecuted the last and convicted the last two bombers in 2001 and 2002, nearly 40 years after the event. He was able to go back and win convictions against these two bombers.
Right.
And what an amazing story that was. But again, it was an incredible experience for everyone who was there. Dr. Lavelle Hendricks has been instrumental in helping coordinate and lead the trip from the beginning. And we're fortunate to have him with us here today. Dr. Hendricks.
Good morning, Mr. President. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
One of the great things about the program is that the cross-discipline of students who are attending, whether they're majoring in education, the sciences, arts. I mean, we have 33 students coming from completely across campus. This program happens because of the support that the university provides. You have the president's office involved in it, the alumni association involved in it. And as President Jones mentioned, Frank Turner, who has been very supportive of this program. So it's a win-win. The program has grown, Jared, again, and we had 33 students this year and had to be very selective because there was an additional 25 students who wanted to attend but didn't have room. But we're making provisions next year for those students to attend.
Why take the students to Alabama? Can't we read about this history in books? Don't we have the internet now? What is it about going to Alabama?
I think there's two answers to that question, Jared. One is the obvious one, and that is, yeah, you can read about it in a book, but as the young lady said on earlier you had the audio of, it's one thing to, you know, to read about it or even see it reenacted in a movie, but to stand on the very steps in the very room of the 16th Street Baptist Church where these four young girls died and hear the story told from people who remember it is just a transformational experience. And it's no longer just a history lesson. It becomes a part of life. But the other reason, and I think this is even more compelling, is much of this history still remains unwritten. And to hear Doug Jones tell the story of how he won the convictions of these two bombers. Now, he does have a book coming up. He wanted to make sure that we knew that so that we'd all be watching for it.
Yeah, we're going to use that book next year in the class, by the way.
Yeah, Yeah, but in addition to him, we heard from Myrna Jackson. She's spoken each year. She was one of the foot soldiers. Well, we went to Marion, Alabama, which was you don't read about that much in the history books because it hadn't been written about much in the history books. But it was really where the voting rights movement that culminated in the march from Selma to Montgomery, it's where that movement began in Marion, Alabama, with the murder of Jimmie Lee Jackson. And we heard from some of the participants in those initial protests, some of those foot soldiers, in kind of a stuffy room at a catfish restaurant.
That's right.
But no one noticed, you know, the environment because the stories were so compelling. So, yeah, and this history is fleeting. And for these students to hear things, this is stuff you can't get out of the history books.
I think, Jared, it's also important to point out one of my students that is old enough and should be registered to vote, but wasn't at the time, told me that when he got back that he wanted to go back home and he wanted to register to vote because he heard the price that was paid for individuals to have the right to vote. And he sent me a message and showed me his voter registration card. So he got a lot out of that. But secondly, more importantly, just to see how the students now wanting to get involved, wanting to make a difference. One of the individuals, Danielle, that you heard earlier, made a point that she said when she comes back to campus in the fall semester, she's going to make sure that students get involved, make sure that students are registered to vote, to make sure students understand it's about them now, because the past is the past, but they represent the future.
I'd like to, and along that line, the students sent me emails after the trip, and I've saved all of them. This one is from a young lady named Chandria Hurd. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn more about the things others have done to make sure I have a better life, such as giving me the right to sit wherever I please, eat at any restaurant, go to any school, and to vote. The trip was amazing, and I learned a lot. Thank you. These are fundamental rights that no one should take for granted. Mm-hmm. And these students learned that these rights must be exercised or they go away. And to hear, you know, from both from their own lips, as we did earlier, and then in the emails that I received, this trip changed the course of these students' journey through life in fundamental and compelling ways.
One of the beautiful things about Alexander Aston's theory on student development, and he speaks about how there's a tremendous amount of learning that takes place outside of the classroom as well as inside of the classroom, and the bonding that took place among the students. You got to understand, now they spent 12 hours on the bus going there and 12 hours coming back. But it's so amazing how you can see these students walking around, even on campus now, knowing each other. They have 33 new friends here on campus, and they made a point that they're going to support the football team because several of the football players went there, several students involved with Student Government Association on campus. So all of that spreading out, and we're going to get together in the fall semester, and we're going to share all of our experiences with the student body here on campus as well, talking about how much they really enjoyed, how it was really an education experience for them.
I can say that I had the honor and privilege of being behind the microphone on this particular trip, mm-hmm. Which is a very comfortable place for me because I can
spend a lot of time there.
Well, I can remain blissfully unaffected in a lot of cases by the things. I mean, such that any journalist can. You have to be able to be unbiased about the stories that you tell. But there were some moments in the basement of the 16th Street Baptist mm-hmm. Church listening to Myrna Jackson tell her stories and intersperse them with the songs that were sung at the time. And she was not shy about sharing, you know, the music and the songs that she and others would use as they were marching down the street, songs that would help them to stay in their sort of stoic nature, shutting out the world that they had to do. Because one of the things that I learned about Dr. King and Reverend Shuttlesworth being insistent that the people who would go out and represent publicly the movement had to be willing to take quite a bit of abuse and not react. Mm-hmm. And that was a key part. We know now, thanks to history, that was a huge reason why the movement was successful, is because those who represented it in public were doing that. They had already accepted that they would be spit upon and food thrown at them and much worse things would happen to them, and that they would be unable to react. And we learned that those people of the time who were not able to commit mm-hmm. to that sort of thing were put behind the scenes. You're welcome to make signs. If you've got a hot head, if you're going to react, if you're going to take a swing, you can stay back and make signs. You can build things that we'll use, but you can't be a part of the movement out in front. Those are going to be people who who are not going to defend themselves, that are going to let the law speak for itself and let folks see what's wrong with it. And I remember thinking, you know, her telling that story and singing those songs and knowing that there was a group of people that were doing that for that reason. It was very powerful imagery for me, you know, behind the microphone. I can only imagine what it must have been like for those students who were in that room hearing her tell that story. And I hope that we don't lose that.
Well, Antoinette was walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge there outside of Selma. She called her grandmother and said, "Big Mama, I'm walking across the bridge." And all of a sudden she got very emotional because her grandmother was telling her, "Baby, I remember that day quite well." And then to be there in Marion, to hear the foot soldiers tell their stories. And Jared, it was very, very emotional to know that those individuals have kept some of these stories inside of themselves for the last 50 plus years and to share them with our students, which is so rewarding.
I can remember on the first trip, a young lady named Jasmine, mm-hmm. you know, Jasmine, mm-hmm. when we were at the foot of the Edmund Pettus Bridge and we were hearing from one of the foot soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a very emotionally wrenching story. And Jasmine just broke down in tears and went up and gave her a hug.
Yes.
And it was a very moving scene. And then we walked over the bridge. Well, I bring that up because I saw Jasmine around campus, you know, really through the rest of her college career. She always came up and gave me a hug and thanked me
yes.
for the opportunity to be part of that. And just a few months ago, I was in the Walmart, and I ran into her again. And she came over and she gave me a hug, and yes. she's working on her master's and said, yes. "Dr. Jones, you're going to get to hand me another diploma."
That's right.
And I said, "I'm proud of you."
Yeah, she's finishing up her master's degree in counseling. And talking about hugs, Frank Turner, again, who supports this program, is on campus doing alumni events or sporting events. And it's so amazing, Jared, for all of these students when Frank is with me and we go to the student center, how they walk up and they hug him and they shake his hand and they embrace him at yeah. Basketball and football games. And again, just very thankful for what Frank, what the president and what Daryl, what they've done to make sure that this program continues. It's very rewarding.
We'll be doing this again next year.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dr. Hendricks, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
And the story of that event and others, we're proud to tell them here on The President's Perspective, but this program and other programs like it, they don't just happen. Right now is KETR's Summer One-Day Drive. If you appreciate these stories, if you appreciate this program and other programs that you hear on KETR, please consider going to KETR.org right now and clicking that donate button and making a contribution to great public radio here in Northeast Texas right now.
That's right, Jared. The Civil Rights Tour exists because of the generosity of one of our alumni, and others have jumped on board. This radio station exists because of the generosity of our community supporters throughout Northeast Texas. So today's a very, very important day within the life of this university and the life of this radio station.
KETR.org. Click donate. It's that simple. Thanks to our guests, Dr. Hendricks and Sergeant Lowe. Thank you so much. And Dr. Jones, I appreciate the time.
Always a pleasure, Jared.
The President's Perspective is produced at 88.9 KETR's studio facility in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. Find archives of this and other programs online at KETR.org. While you're there, don't hesitate to click the donate button at the top of the page to show your financial support for this kind of informative, entertaining, commercial-free radio that you hear on 88.9. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.